Yesterday we began to discuss the bracha of Birchas HaGomel that is supposed to be recited when somebody goes through a dangerous experience and comes out unscathed, comes out without any harm. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday, and this is what I believe a very common shaila. It's a common shaila not only in our generation, but it's something, as you'll see, was a common shaila already in the 1500s. The Maharal, in his sefer Nesivos Olam, Maharal lived almost 100 years. I think he was 97 or 98, which is an amazing statistic even for anyone today, but certainly in the 1500s. So the Maharal has that in his generation people were asking this shaila as well, and he says the following, Va'ata, Yesh b'nei Adam, he says, there are those, Shekasher zarku evan ala v'lo higia ha'evan. If you were, God forbid, you were driving on a road and there were people pelting the cars with stones, with not just pebbles, but real stones that could have hurt you, and the stone didn't hit you. You happened to make your way through it and nothing hit you at all. Not that the stone hit your car and you got saved, but the stone didn't hit your car at all. Says the Maharal, there are those who would think that they should make a Birchas HaGomel on that. And the Maharal responded to them and he said, Ze minig ame ha'aretz. This is the practice of those who are ignorant, of those who are uneducated, of those who are uninformed of the halacha. A bracha of Birchas HaGomel should not be recited in such a situation. Why not? What do you mean? I was in a dangerous situation and I got out of it, says the Maharal. Ki afim radfu acharav b'cherev. Even if somebody, God forbid, comes running after you with a gun, comes running after you with a sword, and they're ready to shoot, and they're ready to hurt you, v'nimlat, and somehow I run away, I get myself out of the situation, ein zeh, that is not considered part of those who qualify for this bracha of Birchas HaGomel. Says the Maharal, why? Because the qualification that you need to fit into the bracha requiring a Birchas HaGomel is that you were already exposed, that you were vulnerable to the attack, and you somehow came out alive. For example, he says, the Gemara tells us, somebody who's a cholesh and a srapi, means you got sick already, you were in the threat of danger, you were in harm's way, and now you came out of that. You were traveling on a boat, and it was a dangerous situation. In a situation like that, we say, once you come out of that unscathed, once you come out of that intact and whole, you recite the bracha. But over here, he says, Davar shaloh hayibitzara, you never had the problem in the first place. Somebody was running after you with a gun, but they didn't end up shooting. Somebody was throwing stones, but it didn't hit your car. In a case like that, he says, Lo ba hatzara klal, you never really encountered the threat as difficult a situation as you were in, but you never really encountered the absolute threat. And therefore, he says, you should not make the bracha, which is a very surprising statement. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah has a suffix about this. Is that really true? If you have a group of cars that's driving down the highway, and it happens every so often, unfortunately, in the West Bank, you have cars who are driving, and very often there's a, I don't know how often, but there are groups of our enemies who stand on the side of the roads and are pelting the cars with stones. You're going to tell me if my car is saved from that, I don't have to go ahead and make a Birchas HaGomel? So that's the opinion of the Maharal, and that is also the opinion of my father, followed that opinion of the Maharal as well. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote like that, as well as Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that a Birchas HaGomel should not be recited unless the person's car was actually hit with the stone and you were miraculously saved from what should have been something that could have very much threatened your life. Otherwise, a bracha should not be recited. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman wrote the following. Very sad story, but Rabbi Shlomo Zalman wrote as follows. Bipigua ha'acharon shahay b'Yerushalayim rachmana litzlan. Now this is Rabbi Shlomo Zalman talking 25, 30 years ago. So there was some pigua, there was some terrorist that came and killed a number of people. Shemechabel harag shnei anashim. That in the end, two people unfortunately lost their lives as a result of this terrorist. Upatza mispar anashim kishiyashvu betachana mul hadoar hamerkazi. He says, there were a number of people who were wounded, and it happened right in front of the post office. I don't know exactly what he's describing, but he says everybody knew the story. V'hayasham ben Tarechad, he said, there was one religious Jew who happened to be there on the scene. Sheyashav afu al asafsel. He was also sitting on the bench waiting for the bus like everybody else, and then the terrorist showed up, and he started shooting in the bus stop. So he says, but 30 seconds before that, this man saw that there was an elderly gentleman who needed a seat, so he got up and he moved away and he was standing on the side. 30 seconds later, the terrorist came and shot right at the seat where he was sitting. So he was very close to harm's way. He should have been there. Happens to be 30 seconds before he got up to give a seat to someone else. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman told him that he should not recite a Birchas HaGomel in such a case, which to me is so surprising. You were in harm's way. The bullets were flying everywhere. It happened not to have hit you. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, no. If the bullet would hit the person and they would come out alive and okay from that, that's when you recite the Birchas HaGomel. But otherwise, you should not recite the Birchas HaGomel. Now, although Rabbi Shlomo Zalman argued that a Birchas HaGomel is not warranted in that case, he still said that you shouldn't go away with doing nothing. So he said, tomorrow morning when you go to shul, he told this young man, tomorrow morning when you go to shul, and you say the bracha and the birchas hashachar hagomel chasodim tovim la'amo Yisrael, you should have in mind, I have such overwhelming gratitude and so much thanksgiving that I owe for the miracle that I experienced yesterday. Again, it may not have warranted making the birchas hagomel per se, the text that we know, but he says, Gomel Chasadim Tovim is a very good way for a person who goes very close to harm's way, but may not be in the absolute danger, to have that in mind in order to some way pater themselves from the bracha of Birchas HaGomel that they otherwise thought they should have said. Yeah. Question? No? Okay, so now, when a person is supposed to make the Birchas HaGomel, when you do fall under that criterion, so the Gemara says there are two requirements that need to be met in order to recite the bracha of Birchas HaGomel. Number one, says the Gemara, it has to be said in front of 10 people, in front of a kahal, as we call, in front of a number of people. V'shnai mehem tamidei chachamim, says the Gemara, not only does it have to be said in front of 10 people, but you need to make sure that two people are going to be tamidei chachamim. So the Torah has a discussion. What if somebody is so thankful, is so overwhelmingly filled with gratitude that they back and immediately from that very dangerous experience, they make the Birchas HaGomel. They didn't know that you need to have a minion. Who would have thought you need to have a minion to make a Birchas HaGomel? When I make a Shakol Niyeh Bedvar, I don't need a minion. When I make any other bracha, I don't need a minion. So why would I think for this? So the Torah discusses, what's the halach of a person made the bracha already? Would you tell them that they have to go back and make the bracha again in front of 10 people? This is a suffix in the Rishonim, and it's not clear at all. And because of this, the Shulchan Aruch comes to the conclusion that since it's a major suffix in the Rishonim, whether this is actually ma'akev, whether it is actually very necessary in order for the bracha to take effect, therefore the Shulchan Aruch says if somebody made the Birchas HaGomel without a minion being present, they should go back and recite the bracha without Shem Umalchus, without Hashem's name, because it's a major suffix and it's not clear. So based on that, the Machatzis HaShekel points out on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, he points out that one has to be very careful, that if you're going to come to shul, sometimes you have people who are very timid, who are very shy in their very nature, and they come up to make a Birchas HaGomel, and 10 people don't hear them making the bracha, and they just stand up there, and everybody hears that they're finished, so they answer what we all know is the custom to answer when somebody make a Birchas HaGomel. So the Acharonim write, you have to be very careful. That's a major question. That's a major issue of Suffolk brachas. If you don't have 10 people who are hearing the bracha, that might not qualify as a Birchas HaGomel, and therefore we assume that one should be careful. When you have the opportunity to make a Birchas HaGomel, it should be said in public, it should be said in front of 10 people, and it should be said out loud that the 10 people should be able to actually hear the bracha and recite Amen and answer correspondingly with what they're supposed to say.
What's the svara behind having a minion, regardless of its composition momentarily?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Is it a presume nisa?
So why is it? So that's a very good question. The Gemara learns it from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'yiramamucha b'kahal am," that you have to praise Hashem in the context of a kahal. As we know, a kahal in general means a minion. That's what the Gemara learns in Ksuvos. That's what the Gemara learns in Psachim. That whenever it says kahal, it means a minion. So the Aderis actually raises your point, and he says, "What does it mean here, a minion? It means a minion. You need 10 men, or can you even have 10 women? If the whole point is just to publicize, just to broadcast and promulgate the miracle," that everybody should hear about what took place and how I'm so thankful to God, what should it matter if it's men or women? As long as you have 10 people and you've gathered a number of individuals to listen to your story and to hear your bracha, shouldn't that be good enough? So that's the Aderis as the suffix. He's not sure. Is this over here, does it mean that you need to have a minion like a barchu, like you need to have by Chazaras Hashatz and Kaddish and Kedusha? Or does it mean, no, you just have to have a minion of 10 individuals, 10 men or 10 women? That's something the Aderis is not sure about, which I think speaks a lot to your point that you're raising. What is the reason to have the minion here? The Aderis himself writes he's not sure. Either way, we assume you need to have 10 people present, men or women. I don't know the answer to that. But Tosas writes that since you need to have 10 people present for the minig developed, that we do this bracha after Kriyas HaTorah. Tosas says it's not connected at all. There is no correlation between Kriyas HaTorah and Birchas HaGomel. But since you always need to have, like the Gemara says in Megillah, you always need to have 10 people for Kriyas HaTorah, therefore, we always have to have 10 people for Birchas HaGomel as well, so we may as well tack it on there. And the Chasam Sofer...
Why do we need two Talmidei
Chacham? Oh, 1 second. So the Chasam Sofer finds this very troubling. We do it after Kriyas HaTorah. So let's say I had a miracle that took place on Monday afternoon. So now we're not going to lane from the Torah till Thursday. What about Zrizim Magdivin LeMitzvahs? I'm going to wait till Thursday just because it's a convenient time to have 10 people. I don't live in the boondocks. I don't live in a place where we don't have a minion. I don't live in a place where we don't have men and women gathering together. We have weddings every night, we have varts every night, we have simchas all the time, we have places where we get together. What do you mean? Why should I wait till Thursday? If there's no intrinsic connection between the Kriyas HaTorah and the Birchas HaGomah, why wait? Why push it off a few days until Thursday? So that's the question that bothers the Chasam Sofer, and he says there must be something that associates them more intrinsically. The Kriyas HaTorah and the Birchas HaGomah must be connected more and more associated to one another. It's not just for convenience that we have 10 people at Kriyas HaTorah, we need 10 people for this bracha. And the Chasam Sofer gives two suggestions where he tries to explain why it really is connected to Kriyas HaTorah. Again, this is a major suffix, but sometimes, you know, when we have a question, I never thought of this, but sometimes, you know, somebody walks up after Kriyas HaTorah is over and tells us, I have to make a Birchas HaGomel today. So we say, okay, sure, come up, make the Birchas HaGomel. According to the Chasam Sofer's argument, that there is some sort of intrinsic connection between the Birchas HaGomel and getting the Aliyah from the Sefer Torah, so then maybe it would make sense that if somebody has to make a Birchas HaGomel and there's no other Chiyuv in the room, obviously there's nobody else who's more important than him, so then we should give the person the Aliyah, because there might be some sort of very intrinsic connection between the Birchas HaGomel and the Kriyas HaTorah. Now, you mentioned about the two Tamei Chachamim. What's that all about? So there, the Gemara once again learns from a Pasuk. Mucha B'Kalam means that you need to have a kahal, you need to have a gathering there. Uvamoshev zakenim yahaleluhu. Not only do you need to have a kahal not only do you need to have a gathering of 10 people, but you also need to have a moshev zakenim. What does that mean? Zakenim doesn't mean old people. Zakenim, as we know in Chazal, means a zakin, somebody who's zeshakana chachma, somebody who is not an adult, but rather somebody who has wisdom. So therefore, the Gemara assumes you need to have 10 people, and you need to have two tamid chachamim, which leads to another discussion in the Rishonim. Does it mean two tamid chachamim on top of the 10 people, or can the two Talmid HaChachamim count as part of the 10 people? And how are you going to count who's considered a Talmid Chacham? That's not so easy either. In a regular minyan, I don't think we have so many great Talmid HaChachamim, illustrious giants of the generation, coming into shul on a regular Monday morning when we say Birchas HaGomel. So again, that's a question as well, but the Shulchan Aruch writes that this other requirement of having the two Talmid HaChachamim, we assume that's a little bit less of a necessity than the requirement of having 10 people, and therefore, even if you don't have the two Talmid HaChachamim, you should go ahead and make the bracha anyway. The Shulchan Aruch's lashon is lo yaniach milavarech. You shouldn't let the bracha linger and not be made, because this is something that should not prevent or obstruct your ability to make the bracha. There is a further question. Let's say the Gemara discusses in Maseches Ksubas on Daf Zayin when you need to have 10 people for a sheva bracha. So, can you count the chasan as part of the 10 people? That's a question the Gemara raises. And then the Gemara contrasts that. There are sometimes, let's say you have a shura for an avil, when you make those lines where the avil walks through, so it says you need to have 10 people for a shura. So can the avil himself count as one of the 10 people? So the Gemara draws a distinction. By a chasan, we assume the chasan is min haminyan. He can count as part of the minyan. By an avil, we assume you need to have 10 people outside of the avil himself who are going to stand in the shura and be menachem the avil. So the question is over here, the Achronim discuss, can the mevarech himself for Birchas HaGomel? We know that the criterion is you need to have 10 people. Can I count as one of the 10? Or do you say, no, you need to say it in front of a group of people, excluding yourself? So that's also a discussion, again, in most of our communities where we live here, usually on a Monday morning when you make a Birchas HaGomel or on a Shabbos, you're going to have more than 10 people in the shul. You're not skimping to try to find exactly the right amount of people. So that's why this discussion, I guess, is not absolutely relevant to our community, but in some communities it is very important. It is very relevant, and it's something to consider. The Beis Yosef writes in Hilchos Tzitzis, the Beis Yosef talks about the passage of the Yerushalmi, that kol ha-brachas kulam, the Beis Yosef says, tzarech levarech me'umad. Whenever a person recites a bracha, you're supposed to stand when that bracha is recited out of respect to the bracha. So the Magen Avraham writes in a number of places. He writes there in Hilchos Tzitzis, then he writes it again in Hilchos Tefillin, he writes it again in Hilchos Megillah, and he has it in a number of different places, that this refers not only to a bracha that's recited on a mitzvah that is done in a standing position. There are some mitzvahs that you have to perform when you stand. So then, obviously, you need to stand not only for the mitzvah, but for the bracha that comes before the mitzvah as well. But says the Magen Avraham, we extend this principle even to a mitzvah that you don't have to stand for. So, for example, when we lean from the Megillah, we're allowed to sit down while we lean from the Megillah. Usually the practice is most people in the shul sit down. But when we make the brachas, everyone stands up. Why do we stand up? The answer is, out of respect to the bracha, we all stand up. So that's the opinion of the Achronim. However, the Magen Avraham and others do point out that although this is the case, that you're supposed to stand up whenever a Birchas HaMitzvah is recited, that is only a requirement when you're standing up, when you're performing a mitzvah. However, when you have the opportunity to make a Birchas HaShvach or a Birchas HaNehanin, for example, you hear thunder, you see lightning, something like that, that's what we call a Birchas HaShvach, or you're making a bracha on a drink or on a piece of cake, that's a Birchas HaNehanin, then you do not have to stand, you're able to have that bracha recited in a sitting position as well. And this is what the Prima Gadim writes as well, that any bread that's considered a Birchas Anenin or Birchas HaShvach, Rashoi Leishev, you're allowed to sit when you recite that bracha. So although this is the case, that generally you only have to stand for a Birchas HaMitzvah, for a bracha that's recited before performing a mitzvah, and one does not have to stand up when reciting a Birchas HaShvach or a Birchas Anenin, it should be of surprise to us that the Magen Avraham here writes that when you recite the Birchas HaGomel, a person must be standing when that bracha is recited. Why is that the case? Why is this the exception to the rule? Although it's a Birchas HaShvach, it's a Birchas Anenin, and usually the rule by those kinds of categories of brachas are that one does not have to stand when reciting or performing such a mitzvah. So why is it that over here, this is the exception, that although it is a Birchas HaShvach, it is a Birchas Anenin, one has to stand up. So this really is based on the Rambam. The Rambam writes that one has to stand when reciting this bracha. And the Kesem Mishnah writes, V'tzarach yin minaleha. How does the Rambam know such a thing? Who told the Rambam this secret? Where did he get the source for this halacha that you have to stand up when reciting a Birchas HaGomel? So this is a very questionable source exactly where it comes from, but the Achronim give all kinds of suggestions to explain why it might be the case that we would require a person to stand up for a Birchas Anen. So the Chasam Sofer writes, maybe it's because you need to have 10 people, as we mentioned, since you need to have a minion there, so it's only Kavadat Zibra, it's only respectful to the community that you're making the bracha in front of, that you should be standing up when the bracha is recited. Similar to what the Rambam says in Ilchas Megillah, that although you're able to sit while reading, while listening to the Megillah, the Rambam writes that a person who is leading and reading the Megillah on behalf of others out of Mishum Kavadat Zibra should stand up. You're the one who's being Motzi Achayim as the Shliach Zibra. You should be the one to stand up out of respect to the Zibra. So the Chasam Sofer argues maybe that's what the Rambam means, that you have to stand up here when reciting the Birchas HaGomel, because, after all, it can only be recited in the presence of a minion, and out of respect to the community, to the congregation that you're there presenting the bracha in front of, maybe you should be standing up. Anyway, all kinds of suggestions. Others say maybe it's because the Birchas HaGomel has a status of Hallel, some kind of a shortened version of Hallel, and the same way by Hallel one has to stand, so too over here one has to stand. An interesting question, but one final point for today, and then we'll go into Mincha, is that the Chayyadim writes that although you get away with just saying one line in the Birchas HaGomel and you think you're finished, the Chayyadim does write that Roy Lomar Parshas Todah, if somebody goes through an experience that is very earth-shattering, someone goes through a miraculous encounter and comes out complete, comes out whole and unharmed, so the Chayyadim writes, you should also say the Parshas HaTodah. You should recount the story, the psukim in the Chumash and the Mishnayos and the Gemaras that talk about what took place when you used to bring a offering of a carbon toad in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not good enough just to say that one little passage of the bracha. The Chayyadim writes, in the back of the Sefer, a very, very long, long, extensive discussion about what exactly is supposed to be said along with the Birchas HaGomel. Again, you don't say that out loud for everybody to spend time listening to you. But the Chayyadim says it would behoove us to take some time when we really feel feelings of gratitude to not only say the bracha itself, but also to add on a passage a little bit about the Parshas HaTodah that used to be recited in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah.